Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it started in here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and 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 running, running, and
in this context, there's no disrespect. So when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for it to disconnect from all intellect and let the rhythm affect. Lose the inhibition, follow your intuition, free your inner soul and break away from tradition. Cause when we be out, drill is full of weed out, you wouldn't believe how we wow shit out. Burn it till it's burned out, turn it till it's turned out. Act up from Northwest East side.
Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stoned,
come on,
get started,
come on,
get started.
I am your host, Dr. J.W. Winborn, coming to you live out of Brooklyn, New York, every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., where our motto is, let's give them something to talk about. Now sit back, relax, call a friend, call a neighbor, let them know that Project Neo is on the air. Call in at 347-857-1311.
Lose your mind, this is the time. Your kids stand still, twist and bang your spine. Bob your head like me, Apple D. Up inside your club or in your Bentley. Get messy, loud and sick. Your mind fast, mama on another head trip. Come them now, do not correct it. Let's get ignorant, let's get hectic.
Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stoned,
come on,
get started.
Georgia,
South Carolina.
over 25 years while right. We can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation plan must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're going to
say. What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, it is Thursday night, people. Thursday night, we are at Neo Nation's weekly conversation with Mr. Jaquan Diaz. He is in, I guess, transit. You know how things happen. But we're going to continue with the show. We're going to bring in the man himself, Shalik Reed. He always has something good to tell us. He always has something inspirational. Just a great brother. We're going to bring in brother Shalik.
What's going on?
Hey, man.
Yo, man.
Hey, what's happening?
It's an honor and a privilege. I want to thank y'all right now, man, for the opportunity. First of all, I want to just say thank you, Dr. Robinson. Thank you, Jaquan. Thank you, Dr. Winborn. Thank you, Gregory Hill. All the listeners out there that's tuning in to the Blog Talk radio station, thank y'all. And thank the communities out there, man, for listening. And I want to just say, man, I'm proud of everyone. And thank y'all for coming out this evening, man. So what's on the agenda this evening?
Tonight, just basically, yeah, man, I usually do a monologue. I'm going to let you do the monologue. I'm just going to hit on some news in the, current
yeah.
events and today.
Yeah.
You know, so many things going on, man. You know, it's just terrible. Ex-football player kills family of five, or, you know, half of a family of five, and a half of a family probably is more than five, but the mixture of the family members. There's a lot of aggravation and things going on there mentally with the brother. We get to read all the story, but I know there's a lot of mentally ill people, woman, Chinese woman, Korean, or whatever she was, I forgot, got attacked in Manhattan by a guy who spent 17 years in jail because he killed his mother. And he's still mental condition. And my thing is, like, why is he out? Why is he walking up and down the street? He's a walking time bomb, you know. He should have been either under, you know, mental services or institutionalized or something of that nature. Racism is always here, people. It's not going to stop. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger because there's a lot of confusion going on in America. And I always talk to, and I know people say, oh, it's redundant. Don't talk about slavery. Don't talk about that. But it's important to understand how things manifest itself. It's important to understand. It's simple, people. I have six kids, and I can tell you this. With children, if you don't straighten them out when they're 1, 2, and 3, and 4, forget about it when they're 9, 10, and 11, and 12. They're going to be off the hook. They get spoiled. And they will go out in the street, and they will show their behind. Okay, all you parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know little Johnny, little Mary, y'all love them and hugging and kissing them. They acting the fool sometimes and having temper tantrums because they want candy. They get in the supermarket, they want potato chips, and then you feel it's time for them to eat that right now. And they get on the floor right in the middle of the supermarket, and they stomping and laying around on the floor and acting the fool because nobody straightened up their tail at the house. Before you got out, you know, you got to straighten it up. And that's what America is. America's a small child that's off the hook. And we have to make sure that we tame this ugly beast. Racism is so, when they talk about, it's about systematic and systemic. Systemic is embedded into the society itself. Systematic is a transcending of it over and over and over and over and over for years. As a former psychologist myself, as we study sociology, psychology, the development of societies, you can develop a society the right way from the beginning, but America started off wrong. And I know Americans don't want to hear this, and I know white Americans don't want to hear this, but America started off wrong. And the reason it started off wrong, because it took all those years, hundreds of years, and enslaved the people, took them from their motherland, took them from their language, took them from their religion, took them from their culture, brought them here and beat them like dogs and treat them like animals, and even told people in the Constitution that we were three-fifths of a human being, that we're not human beings. And that's still in the Constitution today, and they refuse to dispute that statement. So that tells me that they keep on with the concept that African people are less than them. And we're all Africans, whether we lack it or not. I don't care you come from the Caribbean. I don't care you were born in Europe, born in America, born wherever you born. We are African. The blood of our ancestors flow through Africa. The day that we landed on Plymouth Rock was the day we caught hell in America. It's the day that we continue to catch hell. And if we as a people don't learn to come together, that's one of the main issues, too, of this abuse of our people, is that we do not unite together. We don't have to love each other. We don't have to believe the same religion. We don't have to dance the same music. We don't have to eat the same food. But as a black person, a person of color with curly hair, naughty hair, you know, they can see us coming from a mile away. If we all join together, wherever there's trouble, we have to stop thinking like this. If they mess up with somebody in Africa, they're messing with me. If they mess with somebody in the Caribbean, they're messing with me. If they mess with another brother or sister in Europe, they're messing with me. If they mess with a brother and sister in America, they're messing with me. That's how we have to look at it. That's how we have to look at it. And God said, together you stand, divided you fall. And there's power written in the Bible, in any book, the Quran, the Bible, the Torah, any book you read, it says, power and unity, and we need unity. And I'm just—I know I stress this because it's so important. What kind of society are we leaving to our children? What type of society are we leaving to the children? We're not leaving a society that the kids can be safe in. We're not leaving them a society that is nourishing academically, physically, mentally. In the medical field, they have a level of they have something called optimal health, where your spiritual, your physical, and your mental is all working in full capacity. That means you're mentally at the highest level of your capacity. You're physically, in terms of your health and your shape, and you're physically at the optimal level of your health. Because if you're 70, there's a certain level. If you're 60, there's a certain level. If you're 50, 40, 30, 20, there's certain levels of health that everybody can reach. And the purpose of medical services and the medical industry and the pharmaceuticals and all these scientific studies is to make people have the most powerful level of health that they can have. But it's unfortunate, even in that, there's racism. There's certain countries that get medical assistance, social assistance, academic assistance, financial assistance, and then there are others that are not getting it. We see the injustices across the world, especially with people of African descent. It's like, and sometimes we even abuse each other. The abuse is so powerful. Like Malcolm X said, you can be abused so much that you turn against the same person that's being abused like yourself. It's psychotic behavior, but it could happen in a society where there is no level of concern for one another. So, you know, that is the news report. part of it, you know, that's the news report, and that's what's happening. Brother Shalik. Go ahead with your monologue and, you know, tell people what you're feeling today and, you know, how you see things.
Sometimes I may be a little long-winded. I want to thank you for the opportunity. But when you clearly express truth in its fullest capacity, this is not something that I can really go long-winded and be long-winded about. One thing I do agree with you, man, wholeheartedly, in terms of in terms of when it comes to changing the condition of a person, an individual has to first change their perception, their perspective on life. They have to begin to develop a transition as well as a transformational period or stage in their life where they have to reach a level of resistance. And it doesn't take violence. It just takes the level of resistance towards seeking change. And so the change has to be for the betterment of themselves and how they reflect their relationship to others, to their families, to other families, to community, and seeing that we are all tied and connected. And this is just what it is. But what I will say on this level from what I want to share with my viewers and that I've learned over the years, the short period, because I haven't been here that long, but I mean, it's a beautiful experience, man, to not just be living, but to be alive and aware, and to be a product of positive change, man, to be able to be an example of positive change. I could be alive, but that doesn't mean that I'm alive and well. I remember stating weeks earlier before I started the show and information concerning wisdom pertaining to wealth and health. And wealthy does not mean healthy. And sometimes people begin to put wealth as a band-aid to cover up their condition. And so what happens is that, like you said, you rear a child up in the ways of what you want them to become, starting from youth, when they're infants, and you don't have to worry about how they're going to conduct themselves when they're in their older years. When they become an adult, you begin to see the fruits of what was imparted in them in the early ages, and you would expect, you can see those fruits flourishing in their lives, in the lives of others. And so, but I just wanted to also share, you know, because I said so, and then I said but, and the but is the not, you know, because this is where we're at in this stage of our lives in terms of seeing certain events unfold. This is not going to happen. It's not going to take form and shape, because from the very beginning, you know, this is a country that's based on capitalism, and capitalism goes hand in hand with business. And so America has done bad business. They have done bad business with the citizens of the nation. They have done bad business amongst themselves. They have done bad business with other people in other nations. And so this business, until it can be furthered, it has to be corrected. It has to be good business has to be, it has to be, in order for it to prosper and flourish, and for others to be involved with a good business transaction, there has to be a form of integrity. There has to be a form of some type of trust where, or some, I would say, equality, you know, and equality has to be shared amongst both parties, and an agreement towards a common goal so that each individual can benefit. In this term, we have civil inequalities, and those issues have to be addressed, or like a cooking pot, when it starts to hit a certain temperature, it hits what they call a critical point, which is the boiling point. And so things begin to boil over, and then, you know, it, eventually the things just get burnt up. And so from the intellectual experience, I have to also just impart from my experience from low-level education, liberal arts, I would say, and theology, but from the liberal arts perspective, there's no such thing as a utopian society. So
when we begin to think that as a whole, that we will come together, I simply have to agree with science in terms of the utopian aspect. I have never, even when we talk about the Bible, God was for the chosen people. God was not for everyone. God was for this chosen people. God was for those who believed and trusted in the Lord, and he was not for everybody, but it was faith in God was open for everyone to choose. This is what he even says in the Bible. Choose this day who you're going to serve. You cannot serve two masters. You wind up loving one and hating the other. And so what happens is that people are being guided. They're guiding themselves in the ways of one of their masters, whether it be circumstances in their life, whether it be isms and schisms, whether it be a dislike for one who looks the same color, or who maybe it may be the jealousy, it may be pride, it may be other issues. But basically, in a nutshell, man, this is not a utopian society. We will not all come together, because there has to be a level of morality that's in place. We have to have some type of, you can't have a bunch of people just acting like animals or acting like savages. And when you have God trying to use people as instruments to establish a kingdom that's united under God, under godly, it will not stand. A house divided will not stand. It will fall. So what we're dealing with here is that we're dealing with principalities, we're dealing with issues of concern, of people with selfish issues, we're dealing with all types of isms and schisms. And I've come to learn over a course of time, in a period of time, that the like-minded people flock towards like-minded people. It's a relationship. You know, an intellect may not have the same relationship with a person who is not seeking education. And so on and so forth. So we have to begin to understand these relationships, man, and why we relate to one another. We have to understand that if anything that we do have in common is civil equality, civil issues. And those are outright blatantly seen in the course of history as well as it is seen in the course of events in our lives. And it surely affects mental health during this time and facing the pandemic and the crisis. I've experienced that, you know, even before COVID-19, how poverty can take shape and form in households where men are taken out, extracted from their households, out of the community, poor neighborhoods, people who are being economically deprived to build businesses and get loans to purchase corner stores or purchase homes in their areas. How real estate or other agencies play a role. Redlining, this is a common thing, redlining. So it's not that we are unable to, there are stages of oppression that are implemented along the way that creates the ability to not allow, and I say this again, not allowing accessibility to these resources. Many people come from other countries and they wonder, even before they arrive, you have members of the citizens of this nation who often question, say, well, shit, excuse my language, but they say, hey, man, you know, these people have been here. Why they haven't done it? And not realizing and understanding history that economically individuals have been deprived access to flourish equally in a society that we should be having the opportunities to flourish, you know, such as getting loans from banks and so on and so forth. So I say that we have a lot to endure, but it's worth the fight. It's worth enduring. It's worth
on every step of the way towards what we're trying to achieve here. And we have to understand that one thing that we have to achieve is a level of equality, a level of equality. And that's where I believe that right now there's a form, there's things taking place, as such as what he said back in the days, the revolution will not be televised. And that's true in a sense. You have doers, and you have no longer is it going to be the blowing of a horn and an announcement to be made to say everyone gathered to this event because there's a discussion that's taking place in terms of how we're going to operate. Right now, it's about doing. It's about being active. And there are enough resources. There are organizations who are taking steps in that direction. So if anyone who is not aware of it, all they have to do is just look. Just look. Look at Black Lives Matter. I don't care how people may be displeased with how the organization or the manner of how things were ordered in terms of the protest against social injustice issues. It, however, was launched. It became a launch pad, and it became the voices became heard. It gained attention, and you had more people involved than ever before. And people from all cultures picked up that banner and said, hey, Black Lives Matter, my life matters. Right now you have on Facebook where they have inmate lives matter, prison lives. I remember when I was incarcerated, when, you know, the police was killing guys inside of the system, I used to say, hey, do we matter? You know, does it come a time where individuals have ever acknowledged the people who are incarcerated? And there's a movement, you know. I remember seeing TV when there's a movement right now where organizations was protesting against young Black youth being labeled as the endangered species, you know, and how they were shaping and arguing against politics to change these stereotypes and to provide education for youth who are incarcerated. But this is not that issue. The issue concerns civil issues. And until we reach a level of understanding how we are all affected by civil issues and civil concerns, civil policies, which you had stated in terms of the Constitution, what I had stated even weeks back, until those foundations that this country has founded these fallacies of logic and principles on these it's just false. The whole thing needs to be uprooted and just be just reestablished in terms of equality, you know, for all. And this is what establishes this is what's going to establish a level of justice and equality for all people. And this is what's going to reestablish the neighborhood. And this would reconnect individuals as a whole to know exactly what they're fighting for, who they're fighting against. And they will be able to establish principles and contracts where we can sit down at the round table and discuss issues that concern us, despite our differences, because we all have more in common than we have as far as differences are concerned. So I just say that basically, like I said, to see us as a whole, coming together, I honestly speaking, I believe that time has passed. I believe that the only type of people that do come together are people, you know, and it's just sad to say, we've had an opportunity, I believe, to do that. That was probably from your era, where Black was Black and white was white. And so what has happened is that this movement has been controlled to a large degree by capitalist corporations, by other people who, due to fear and due to not having access, not being accessible, or not having resources, not having resources accessible to them to fight the good fight. And the sad thing about that, now we have to look at the good fight. If it's not a good fight of faith where there's principles surrounded around the Creator, or it's not going to stand. So I have to look at those things, because when I look at those concepts, I look at myself. When I look at myself and I take, like I said, manning up, being able to take full responsibility for my actions, even though partly it was by design, but there has to be a level of being able to take responsibility. You can't always have someone with a life raft trying to come in for a person's safety and them not being able to take a resource, because it's always in a story. It's an excuse. And what's the story now? You know, you ever heard of the story about the guy who was in the ocean? He was saying that he was waiting for God to send send safety to help him. So a boat came by. A guy came through, tossed him the life raft, and he said, "No, I'm waiting for God." Then a plane came through, a helicopter. They came with the ladder dropped in there. He says, "Nah, I'm waiting for God." And then the next thing you know, he died. And then he went to God. God, he said, "Well, God, you know, I was waiting for you. You never came through." And God supposedly said, "Well, I sent the life raft. I sent the boat. I sent the helicopter. Why you never utilized these resources that I sent you?" And he said, "Well, that wasn't true." He said, "Well, listen, I used these people to reach you. But you, in your ways, you were looking for something else." So my whole concept is that when we come to the right mental health, make a decision in terms of where we're heading, then we can sit down at the table and we can discuss that as a whole. Right now, the nation is divided amongst goals and policies. No one, I mean, I've heard so many things, so many discussions, and you have so many organizations with a different plight, but they're saying that they're talking about the same thing. But so what's separating an individual from teaming up together to say, "Hey, how about we form together? You know how to write grant proposals. My team know how, we may not have the grant proposal team or the access, or maybe we don't have the skills to do it. But how about we team together and we can negotiate something where we fight together for the same cause, and then we can hire people." You know what I'm saying? And give people jobs. And then, no, but this is not happening. This is not happening. And we have to deal with that. We have to deal with the facts and the reality. We have to deal with, like you said, when we begin to deal with the reality that there are minded people who do not want to see progress. And yes, they will be left behind. So this is not, it's the same thing as faith, man. You know, when we look at it, God is, if anybody tells you anything else besides that what I'm saying, right, not what I'm saying, but what the Bible says, then they need to study their Bible and they need to study. God is not for everybody. It's hard to say. A person can say, "Hey, but you know, he did this for me and he did that." The question is, if the person does not believe and claim that as their faith and their way of life, then that may not actually be God doing it. It may be an actual opportunity for an individual to accept change in their life and be ye transformed by the renewing of their mind. But we have to understand what forces we're dealing with. What God is there actually, you know, because what the person who is not dealing with those principles may be worshiping the idol of circumstance. Maybe be worshiping the idol of a good luck charm. Maybe worshiping an idol of themselves. Calling themselves to do, see? So we have to understand why we're unable to accomplish certain things, even though we may be suffering from the same or similar conditions, why we are unable to move unified as a whole with under one God, one principle, and with one understanding that we are all affected. And so, I just want you to
You know, give me your opinion on it, because people may, they, you know, people become, we become so argumentative.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you, but I know that there's listeners out there right now as we speak, because I can tell you this. I've been seeing it all. I've not seen it all, but I've always known this. And I know this for myself. People are never satisfied. They'll always find an argument. They'll always find something that is right now. I remember when I was first starting to learn to play the piano, and I had a beat up piano. And the first thing that brothers was doing, oh man, you sound horrible. But I said, do you have a piano? And the guy says, yeah, but I played my, but if I ever was to play, I would never sound like that. And I said, well, when is it that you, since you never would sound like that, teach me something. Whenever was it a time that you tried to do it and share with me your experience of why you didn't get certain results? All I do is use it and play my music through the speakers. But I just let it come like dust. I said, well, you know what? I'm in the field. So the trials and errors that I'm making, that's one thing no one can take from me. They can take the keyboard, but my knowledge and my wisdom, the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding has been given to me. You know, it can never take away. And this just goes to show. Right. So it's just like right now.
Well,
I'm listening. Let me listen. I'm going to listen.
No, that was very interesting. That was a good analogy of what's happening today. Jaquan Diaz is here. We're going to bring him
in.
Yes, sir. And let him give us his order of things in which he have that he wants to do.
Thank you. I'm glad the brother's here, man. Thank God for him. I'm glad he arrived. I'm here, guys. What's going on, Jay?
How's everybody? God bless.
God bless you, man.
Listen, I have a special guest, a brother that he was there with me during some of the times. Unfortunately, he's still left on the front line.
We have one minute left.
Yeah, he has just 1 minute. I just want him to introduce himself to you, and then I'll go in depth into his story. So introduce yourself to the radio, Big Bo.
Yeah, man, it's a blessing to be on the show, man. It's definitely a blessing. I'm grateful to be on the show. Talking to John Dolson, man. Today I just wanted to talk about the social distancing and the conditions that we're going through right now in Rikers Island. Like, it's really no social distancing. Like, they got, like, the whole house filled up and stuff like that. We haven't got no haircuts in months. We don't got no nail clippers to clip our nails. It's delays in the court proceedings. The cells are not being disinfected. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that's going on in here that is not inhumane. It's not humane. It's inhumane, and it's just stuff that me and Ja was going through while we was in here together.
Thank you for using Securus.
I got you. Yeah.
Damn.
So yeah, it hurts because like now I'm on the other side. So the Reverend could tell you how many times I called in there. I mean, I'm talking to the brother sometimes, and phone, fights is popping off on the phone, and riots is popping off. I can't finish a convo. I'm going to the box for days, but this was a brother that was there too. Like, you see the conditions he's talking about? Every time I was in solitary confinement, it's because I'm not sitting in nothing like that. I tell the Reverend, he used to be like, yeah, listen, go try to find something to do. I'd be like, Reverend, it's itching. I'm about to change the whole environment. I can't. Like, I can't look at it like that. Like, I can't. Like, and I motivated people. So in situations like that, they put us in, like, solitary high-class places. Like, he came out the box. He was in the box just now, Brother John Dosa. He went from the box. He went back to enhanced housing units. So he's not back in population yet. He's still, like, in a cell. He was talking to us from a cell and on the phone. They put the phone through the cell slot, and he was talking to us like that. But he yeah, he's still there with only a $5,000 bail. He's he's become very versed in the law. He's actually down for something he did not even commit. Really wrong place, wrong time and type of situation. And, you know, he gives you a glimpse of that environment. Like, you know, I sent home a sketch of what the interior of Rikers looked like in the dormitories and the cafeterias, and I actually had them sent home, and I still have them. They were supposed to air at the time where, you know, the COVID had just broke out, and I was talking about the lack of social distancing and the ineffectibility to combat the virus and confinement, and it's just chaos. Like, and it's because the truth is you're not considered human. As an incarcerated individual, as somebody who is locked up, you are a number, you are a commodity. Like, you are literally a piece that keeps the wheel going in the food chain. Like, so they're going to look down on your position and your plight, even down to the COs. Like, I'm not taking too much. Like, they're a step above and their freedom, but they subject to the virus too. And they not saying enough or doing enough. They supposed to be sticking it up right with the inmates. I tell the COs every day when I see them, like, what are you doing? I don't even like looking at you. How could you go back out to the public, not whistleblow, not talk about the inhumane situation, and then come back to work? Why would you think I'm going to talk to you like you're human? And you treating me like I'm an animal. You really show back up to work. You see what we're going through in here. I don't want to talk to you, but I do understand it to an extent that they may be, they just pawns on the chessboard. But that Willie Lynch syndrome is so deadly that he really looked at me being in jail as a black man versus him working as a CEO as a black man is a separate plight. It's like I'm in the field and he's on the porch. So you see how that science that he broke down, it was all metaphorical. Like, the field versus the porch versus the house, it don't necessarily have to be the same thing, but you could apply that in every state and time. Like, and that's what's happening, like, with the jail system, and why we can't combat it, because we really looking at them as those as criminals. They probably deserve to be in there anyway. And we who we are, because we still in society or we still out in the world. And we don't understand that all of them work hand in hand, from the education system to our neighborhoods to the police force to the jails not being rehabilitation centers and all of that. So the more we don't have the tools to properly build our own back, the more we're going to be miseducated as a people, and we're going to continue to lose. So the brother definitely wanted to get his message out there that the plight is still there. Like, the situation is still there, and it's funny how early pandemic they dramatized the situation on Rikers Island, then made it seem like they cleaned it up, and then it's never mentioned on the media again. So this is what I was talking about on our last show when it came down to the media, that even though we follow it, also know those are tools of the devil, that the media is in the devil's control to try to shape the narrative of what they want us to see. So sometimes when we look at the media, we got to be like, dang, what don't they want us to see? Okay, this is what they're showing us, but what don't they want us to see? What is really happening? What did they really find? Or, you know what I mean? We always got to think outside the box and put God first. You know what I mean? That's always a good point. I caught a little bit of what the brother Shalik was saying when I had jumped into the show, and he was talking about, like, what kind of God you may worship. And it's funny he was saying that because the word God is actually a Greek tonic, and it really means an object of worship. So God can be broke into gods. It can be broke into the word goddess. It can be broken into God's son, etc. souls. In itself, the name God is imperfect, thus not being the name or title properly given for the Creator. So what humans have thought to understand as the Creator is God is a simplified way to our finite understanding. So at any given time, someone can take multiple things as his God, but that does not necessarily make it his Creator. So the Creator still stands in a class of his own, but somebody could be a slave to his own desires. Somebody could be a slave to money. Somebody could be a slave to violence. Somebody could be a slave to gossip. Whatever your heart turns for, whatever it pulls towards, because you're supposed to pray. That inner feeling is your, in the beginning, is your connection between you and the Almighty, and pulling you towards that first.
That's right. We're here.
Okay.
My fault. A baby had grabbed something. I have a guest in the house. And so, hold on. So, wait, where was I? I kind of got stuck. I'm sorry, guys. Well, let me let it come back to me. Okay. I know he's talking about. Okay, yeah. So God being in his own class. So yeah. So people become a slave to their own vices, making those things their God. You know what I mean? So this happens all over the world. This is why people can look over the plight of another people, and it's like, okay, well, that's their business. This is mine. Then you got to ask yourself, are we serving the same Creator? This is why deep down in people's hearts, somebody can say, yeah, but you worship your God. Right there, that narrative, I always stop somebody. When I talk about the Creator, and he says, well, you worship your God. And I said, you know, in the beginning, man would have never even thought like that. Man would never have lifted his tongue to tell another human being they worship a God apart from the Creator of the universe. That's impossible, because there's only one Creator of the universe. Now, the way we might understand and approach said Creator might be different ways in the infinite of the Creator, but that does not make him separate entities within himself. So, this is why it becomes so hard for humans to really show mercy in so many situations. You know what I mean? And, the people don't have forgiveness, and this is why Jesus was trying to come and bring grace to the law, because the law was they were so. Give me one second. One second. Hold on. Somebody
okay.
Take over 2 minutes, real quick.
Okay.
Shalit,
go right ahead.
I'm here. I mean, you know, expounding on what the brother said, man. But I tell you one thing, man. You know, just hearing that other brother, who was a strong brother, who is now in bondage right now, expressed that his conditions in terms of his surroundings and what he's being subjected to, along with what Jaquan was stating in terms of how you have state workers working in these facilities. It was funny because it just gave me a glimpse of what I was facing, and I used to always look at the experience in terms of saying of learning experience. It was a learning experience for me, because I said, wow, I'm surrounded around poor people who are incarcerated, including myself, and I am being governed by poor and educated people who have jobs, who the only thing that separates us is based on how we perceive one another. And we
look
at each other from different spectrums of the scale, when we all in the same boat. So you got poor,
right.
You got poor people, poor and uneducated people, who are state employees who have these jobs, who are governed other poor people. And there is no line of communication in terms of the condition that each one is faced with in terms of the inequalities and the inhumanities. And the only thing that you can say is that I'm different from you because I wear a certain color and I'm in a certain, I'm a product of the environment, and he or she is in the person who is an employee of the environment. So I just want to just let Jaquan expound, because I mean finish his comment, but I just wanted to say briefly is that I'm always humble, and as a reminder of understanding the difference between transitioning and transformation. And so that's all I wanted to say, man. I just want to remain humble and understanding that, man, I'm still in the transformation process. And the transition has already been taking place, but I thank God to hear brothers who are expressing themselves, because I am still. We have a voice. You have a voice. We all have a voice. And that voice needs to be heard, and I thank God for, this broadcast, for allowing the platform to be established for the voices to be heard. With that, I just wanted to say thank you. I'm listening. We all listening. Jaquan is there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, brother. Continue the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that God has placed in your heart. The Creator has placed in your heart, man. Bring forth.
Yeah, thank you. I was thinking about starting a series like this, because if you notice, like, the show, I'm introducing a neutral look at the Creator. So one thing that I have never attributed myself on the radio show or to anybody is, like, what sector do I classify myself in? Am I a Jew? Am I a Christian? Am I a Hebrew Israelite? Am I a God body? Am I a Muslim? Am I a Hindu? Am I et cetera? So, you know what I mean? So for me, on my spiritual journey, as I told you guys before, I sought out to disprove the existence of the Creator. So my journey started a little different, where I never got kind of caught in, I went to church when I was younger. I was definitely my grandfather's a deacon, still to present. I was always in church, but I never really understood it. My big brother, he was into the church, and then he became an atheist. So I wasn't necessarily an atheist, but I knew something probably had something to do with the universe, and I did not have the understanding that I've been blessed with today to understand that you can't understand the supremacy of the Creator. So with that, I went through multiple paths. Not that I like performed seances, nothing, but I've read all paths, like even the Carmenomica. If people don't know about that, it's the devil's book. So I've delved in all of that, but I don't use it. So I acknowledge the existence of the Creator. At present, this is what I learned. After I learned Arabic, Hebrew, I can read Aramaic, I can read Greek. I've learned the languages and started studying the books and had that time to do that. When God gave me that level of in-depth understanding, what I concluded for myself was that there's one sole creator of the entire universe, and he's been called upon by my background scratchy, but he's been called upon by multiple names, and you know what I mean, there's a correlation between everybody's faith that brings us all back to the beginning, including science. It all brings back to the old, to the Creator. What happened throughout history? How did people start understanding in a different way? Did he intend it to be understood in a different way? And how is that supposed to come back together to meet that one Creator's end goal? So it's like a lot of sectors, like, a lot of religious leaders, I sat down. I actually attended debates at the New York Seminary in Manhattan. Yeah, the Theological Center in Manhattan. And I used to go down there with a brother named Imam Askia, and me and him actually had a lot of dialogues. And then I had a lot of dialogues with the Pastor Timothy, with the brother, I think it was Brother Thomas. But he used to always go on Rikers Island too a lot. And I used to go down there and help with the services and the works. And I try to do the cross dialogue to try to bring communities together to bring about more effective change. It shouldn't be no reason why a mosque is on one corner, a church is across the street, and a synagogue is over there. None of them communicated. None of them did nothing for the neighborhood to come together and done stuff for the neighborhood. So how do you see yourself doing the Creator's work? See, you might be doing God's work, but are you doing the Creator's work? Are you seeing the neutrality in the Creator, the one who made us all, the one who permits 10 seconds from now, you're going to continue to breathe in? You're still breathing. The Creator could tell the angel of death and say his time is up, and the angel of death will never, ever question the Creator's word. You leaving this planet. I don't care what you got hit with. If it's not your time to go, you're not leaving this planet. No matter what you get hit with, if the Creator don't permit it, I don't care if a mountain fell on him. If he's not going, you don't die. So this is the power we're talking about. So you got to be neutral, because we all under the microscope. We all under the microscope. I can't take your sin on my back. I can't take no man's sin on my back. So how am I sitting there? How are we sitting there at each other's throat over racism and poverty and money and doing this to each other? Like, imagine when we actually face the power of the universe, when we have to face him with all our wrongs in our position. How are we going to face him? How are we going to face him united? We're not going to be able to do that. That's Judgment Day. That's why this day, that's the end. But before that, we got work to do. So with that said, where I'm going to try to continually meditate into our minds the supremacy of the position of the Creator and how all things is issued forth from the Creator. And then I'm going to go a little in depth into, like, the formation of the earth and its purpose. So I'm going to go a little more into, like, science, the animals, what made the earth tick. Because once you understand the earth without us, you want to see the beauty of the planet and the purpose of green energy that the brothers have been talking about and putting back into the planet and taking on part of that solar panels and clean energy, because the earth is first. And then after the earth, you know, we got here. What was our purpose? What was we supposed to do? What were we supposed to do while we're here? What were we supposed to do to give back? So I'm going to explain that through the stories of the prophets, and go into death, look into Adam's story up, and then we're gonna conclude with the end, with the finales, and by that time, hopefully, I'll have a couple more things. I've been working on my computer a lot, so I'll have more to the table for everybody real soon. So by that time, hopefully, there'll be a platform where you guys could keep going back over the lessons, and, you know, I hope God's work is being done by doing this.
Great, great, great. And you have some listeners in as well, and I'd like to bring them in into the conversation and give them a couple of minutes to say something before you go for your break. Is that good?
Okay. Yes.
All right. So we're going to give a nice hand to the two good brothers here. Brother Professor Gregory Hall from Saturday night 7 to 9. Let's get it together and reap more. Brother Gregory Hall.
Hey, bro.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
All right. I didn't realize. I thought I was listening in on Blog Talk Radio. I didn't realize I had called in. I just want to say that we really need to take advantage of just what I'm calling positioning. Now, I'm working on a project where I'm going to have a kind of like a home business opportunity, right? And I will be sponsoring a few persons that, you know, have demonstrated that they, you know, want to make some progress. But I want to emphasize and reemphasize, because I think a lot of persons just don't quite get it in terms of the potential of this Clicksters opportunity. All right. It's about positioning. It's about getting in position and building an infrastructure or building a downline. And that could be extremely valuable. All right. So it's the deal is everybody, you know, is not, I mean, many people are financially challenged. So this is an opportunity where if you have absolutely no money, you can take advantage of it. And I want to give you an update. Willie Saunders has informed me that Clicksters, which has been in beta, is supposedly going live the 1st of May, all right, which means there's going to be more money in the pot that the company is paying. But right now, payments are being made for persons who just sponsor other persons. Please do not miss the forest for the trees. The payments are not, you know, that financially attractive. It's just $5 per person, but it's a free $5 that you can use to build your downline, build your infrastructure. I'm going into a marketing phase. I've been doing a lot of planning and researching, but now I'm ready to start marketing. And how can I say, all the dots are really, really coming together. I announced that on my show that I was on Wednesday, we had a person named Peggy Dobson. She actually owns a TV network, and I'm going to be working with her to start to get the word out. All right, I know you probably have other guests on the line. I don't want to take too much time. All right, to be continued. Listen in for more details on Saturday. Of course, you know the time and the number, 7 to 9. 347-857-1311. Thank you so much for your, you know, for listening and for your time.
Great, great. Now we're going to open up 718-350, Mr. Ronald A. Robinson himself.
Good evening, brothers. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, how are you all doing this evening?
Doing great. How are you?
I am well. Everything is well. I've been listening. And the thing I can think of is all things work together for those who love him, if I quoted that correctly. And then, and in your statement of the different faiths or beliefs all coming together for one God, if I'm doing that, saying that correctly or responding to you correctly, and it's true, we argue and debate about who's right all the time.
Well done.
And
it is nowhere.
How about if we're all right? Those who have faith, you know, and do believe. And our Father, the Elohim, you know, speaks to all of us in a different language or a different way for his purpose, you know. And so rather than fighting, well, you know, you're Catholic, you're Christian, you're, well, those two things, you're Catholic, you're Christian, you're Muslim, you're Hebrew, you're, and so on and so forth. If God is allowing or has purposed us to serve him, why do I just serve him in Hebrew? You know, why do I just serve him, you know, as an Israelite? You know, how was the purpose, you know, of Paul to bring the gospel all over the world to what they called the heathens? You know, have to think about that, you know, and as you eloquently, you know, have mentioned, this is, you know, I like the way you put the fact of you try to disprove.
Right.
What we all think is a fact and came to the truth or came to
reality. Extremely hard, trust me.
Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. But anyway, keep your mind short and listen, man. God bless you. Everything is cool, you know, and I'll be listening.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, so now we'll take a commercial break, and, you know, we'll be right back with Jaquan Diaz. You want to tell us a little bit more?
We'll talk soon, guys.
Give him some time to re-up, you know, because I know that a lot of this talking, man, I do a lot of it, brother. Right now, I'm sort of drained myself, and I don't have a lot in my brain, so I like to hear others. And you and Shalit always bring fresh thoughts to my memory, and I appreciate that. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, brother, for giving us the platform to do it.
Folks, stay right there. We're going to come back with Neo Nation Weekly Conversation with Jaquan Diaz. Stay where you at.
Yeah. Oh. Entertainment. Worldwide. Network. We all live. We in your speakers. And on your mind.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Wade. I sang on Payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Thing, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your peeps, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
It's your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouth.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hamson.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB. Cooney.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy Size Money.
This your boy Big Chad Domenico.
Bye bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy J Futuristic.
This your folk Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end, getting blessings. Wise life practice. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Child.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Fox and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled SAG Pants Equals a SAG Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, and the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour bookings, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Work. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. 10 o'clock. We on time.
We live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
I also like to fill in a little inspirational music for the people as well. Just an inspirational song by Pastor Hezekiah Walker, and he says it's got to get better because God is in control, and sometimes we need to be reminded of that. So let us listen.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
Your life has been out of control. You're confused. But don't worry.
Don't worry, your soul. It will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in
control, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Within your heart.
Gotta get better. God is in control. We just want to give a couple of service announcements. Number one, we know that $2.7 trillion is coming into America for economic development and opportunities of solar energy, clean energy, free energy. They're trying to do something for 2030. And we don't want the black community, Latino community, minority community to miss out. We want everybody to go to Positive, P-O-S-I-T-I-V-E, Change, C-H-A-N-G-E, PC.org. Go to that site, learn about the energy. Brother been doing it for 30 years. He put all the information on the website. You can go on to the petition and sign the petition. Whether you're into clean energy, whether you're working in it, whether you're engineering background or whatever, just have this money come to our communities. So Positive Change, PC.com, and go to that site and sign up. Don't forget, jobs is available, $20 an hour. There's no basic requirements. Call Mrs. Helena Owens at 718-504-6861, 718-504-6861. Go over there, check it out. Don't forget reparations program, and Project NEO has a reparations program designed now. All of us have come together. The money can be redistributed within the black community where we all can benefit. So go to my MY project, project, NEO, NEO, .org. My project, NEO, .org. And check out the reparations program. Thank you so much. Now we're back with the man himself, Jaquan Diaz.
Okay, I'm here. Okay, which route will we take? So, the supremacy of the Creator. So there's a verse, right? I believe it's in 2 Kings chapter 8. I believe verse 8. But in this verse, it basically took place after King Solomon finished cleaning. He finished building the temple to God.
Okay.
All right? So I'm going to go into a little bit of history, too. If anybody's background is allowed, can you please mute them, please? So King Solomon built a temple because he wanted people to remember the Creator, and he wanted a house specifically made for the Creator in commemoration to the promise that, the Messiah will come through the loins of King David. So he built the Temple of Solomon, which was originally where the Dome of the Rock is now. So in Jerusalem, that big gold top place with the blue around it, that's the Dome of the Rock. Now, that was built by Salahuddin. Salahuddin built it after some pagan conquerors had built the Temple of Jupiter over the Temple of Solomon. So Jupiter is Zeus. So they built the Temple of Zeus. So it was in the West. A lot of people don't know that in early Islamic times, the Prophet Muhammad was actually told to pray towards this place. First and foremost, he prayed towards the west of this place. So this was to show the magnitude of the Creator. And he says a statement when they built the house for the Creator. You know, you got the huge houses and places of worship for the Creator and big places to define or to try to, like, be in awe in for the Creator. But he said that Solomon says this to God. He says, is God to dwell in the house of man? He said, nay. He said, not the heavens, nor the heavens of the heavens can contain you. So now this statement goes around a lot of people, and I want to stop right here, because Solomon was given a wisdom that was beyond anybody else of his time and probably times to come. And he just made a statement. He said, no, even at the magnitude of what Solomon had just constructed, he said, no, God will not dwell in the house. Neither the heavens nor the heavens of the heavens can contain you. So what is he saying here? So there's a word in Arabic and Hebrew, and the word is called Sabah. And Sabah means seven, but indefinite. Meaning whenever you see the number seven as a divine number for God, it can mean the literal number seven or indefinite numbers of infinity. That's why seven is God's divine number, because it means it's an infinite number and it's class two as a divine number. So it's mentioned that the Creator made seven heavens, and in the beginning, the seven heavens weren't just formed like one day after another, but eons and eons apart, and the universe took eons and eons to develop. So I just wanted to give us an insight. Like, let's go into meditation on this one. Like, let's really define what we're talking about. So from the earth standpoint, there's billions of people on the earth, and there's enough space to fit billions of people more on earth. But compared to the heavens, or compared to just our sun right there, the earth is insignificant. It's nothing. Because you can fit literally 1.3 million Earths inside the sun. Just that alone in the solar system. Then they've discovered stars where you can put our sun 1.3 million times into that star. And I tell you, all of the stuff that we've discovered, all in the lower heavens. That's heaven one. Now, the prophet said that the distance between one heaven to the next is the distance of 500 years. And this is just to give you the example. Now, flying at what speed, or only God knows, but the distance is 500 years. And that heaven is greater than the previous one before it, and on until you reach the seventh heaven. And with that said, that's the universe. This is not, we're not even talking, we're not even there to the end. So there's something that was mentioned in the Bible and is mentioned in the Quran as the footstool of God. In the Quran, it calls him the kursi. In the Bible, it's the footstool. Now, the footstool of God is described as taking the whole universe how I described it. Take the whole universe you just described. All that space I just described is a set of all those heavens, all those seven heavens, to a ring on your finger. You take that ring and you throw that ring in the Sahara Desert. That ring is the universe, and the Sahara Desert is the footstool of the Creator. Now, what is the significance between the two? Nothing. I mean, just the footstool of the Creator to our very existence is nothing. Now, going beyond that, there's the angels who hold the throne of God. They're mentioned in the Revelations when we start getting up to there and in some of the Psalms. But some of the mighty angels, it said the distance between the angel's earlobe to the top of his head is a bird's flight of 700 years. And the angels who bear the throne, one of his wings and foot is in the lower heavens, and his head is in the highest. So this creature is one of the eight who bears the throne of the Creator. And this being is so huge that its foot is in the first heaven and its head is in the final. Now we talk about the throne of the Creator. In the Bible, they call it the throne of glory. In the Quran, they'll call it the arsh. Now, when you talk about the arsh, or when you talk about the throne of glory, it's described as taking the kursi, and so the footstool of God plus the universe, taking all of that and likening it back to that ring. Take that ring and throw that back in the Sahara Desert. That is what's compared to the throne of the Creator. Now we on the throne. And beyond that is the Creator, and everything else described is insignificant to him. So matter in which he created and beings in which he created, their status is so high in magnitude, and the magnitude is so high, we're not even talking about the creator. How did we liken him to think a being of that supremacy took joy in us fighting and destroying the planet over different perspectives on worshiping him? Look at the supremacy of the creator and how he described himself. But when man likened the creator to likenesses of our own and tried to put the creator in a box, per se, they limited the creator's awesomeness. And this is not taught. So when science is being taught in school, the purpose of science needs to be fulfilling in understanding the creator. Because when you look at science, like why are plants green? Plants are green because of chlorophyll, right? Because they need to make food for themselves. Because they need to turn sunlight into food. Now, why is green? Why sunlight? 93 million miles away, how does an orb, a sun, 93 million miles away, have a relationship with a plant? And that plant have a relationship with the sun, divine design. They work simultaneously for one another. So the sun given to the earth, and they make food, thus giving out oxygen. Just we breathe in oxygen, we let out carbon dioxide, in which they transfer into food too. The worms are in the ground and they germinate the ground, and the bees, they pollinate the plants. It's a system, and everything is running in a system. This is what it means to be subjected under divine law. This is the inescapable feeling of being under submission, whether you acknowledge it or not. Because you can't tell yourself stop breathing and you keep breathing. You can't tell yourself to eat and never have to use the bathroom. You can't tell yourself not to have certain animal urges as a human being. These are things that cannot be replaced because you are created. As my journey continued about the creator, I'm in a cell one day, and a spider egg broke in my cell. So these spiders is going everywhere, which way in my cell, and these spiders spin the web, and a fly just happens to fly in to that window, get caught in the web, and these spiders work together to tie this fly up and get a meal. So I asked myself, I said, one, how did it come out the egg? Not seeing its parents spin a web, and how did it kill the fly knowing that it was venomous? So I said, it came out pre-programmed, thus giving acknowledgement to a programmer, and the programmer has to be the creator. This is what kept happening to me down my journey, because I try to keep it neutral and fair. Every time I try to say, there was no creator, there was no way, I kept reaching that wall, like, no way, there has to be the unexplainable behind it all, like, this power has to be behind it all. So, I hope people sharing a vision of a world where we neutral, like, where every action we know is, like, you know, judge me not, lest you be judged. You know what I mean? Let's all remember our first obligation. Like, shenanigans can never supersede responsibility. No matter what things we indulge in or get into, we can't forget our ultimate goal to the earth. So, with that said, I wanted to take some time to take some questions. And, let's take some questions and, I broke down the vision of the creator, and let me hear some questions, some feedback. If you have some things to say or questions or another look at, let me know.
Yeah, it's deep because as the world evolves, you know, thousands of years is like days and a minute and a moment to God. You know, the timing for him is not the timing for us. But all these things in which we are facing right now, as you said, these things were already predestined. We know that these things are going to happen because we know that the Bible says that man has to know. In order for man to understand what pain is, he has to know what joy is. In order for him to understand what ugly is, he has to know what beauty is. In order for him to know what poverty is, he has to see what wealth is. So he needs the both in order for him to understand the two differences. So in order for him to know what goodness is, he has to see evil as well, so he can tell the difference. And then God give us a free will so that we can make choices on our own and so that we can freely serve him. But when you do it on a free will, it's got more power to it. It sustains itself. It stays on for a long time. So that was a great, great analogy, what you put together for us there to give us that understanding. That made a lot of sense.
I appreciate it.
We got a text message here from Kenneth Longden from Boston, Mass. And he wants to know, how do you get your insight? Is it through spiritualness or is it through just being academically taught in a school? Or how do you seek this insight that you always have?
I'm going to say you ask them. I told you at the beginning of my journey, it started because I asked him, and then he opened the windows of the knowledge for me. And then it's just step by step. I'm not going to say it's no school. I'm not going to say it's no theology, because sometimes you get wrapped up in your own voice. And I've sat around some of these scholars, and you get wrapped up in what you feel is right, and you don't hear nothing outside of what you feel you know. So I'm going to say that God endows to whom he chooses. So well, you grab your book and start your journey and just start one page at a time and just keep asking God to take you one step at a time. The journey is going to be joyful, and it's definitely not about a mountain knowledge. And it's about a mountain knowledge for the right things. Because you want to grow deeper in love the Creator. So you want to learn more about the Creator to have more reverence for him. Other than that, there's people during my journey that I had stopped teaching for a while, because I've seen people use what I've learned as a weapon. And there was a guy who actually took the time to sit under me and go through the scriptures and learn certain stuff. And he used it as a weapon. And I had to shut him down one day. He was using it to, go in dorms and try to preach to people and take all their food and manipulate people. And it was so evil. Like, I'd seen evil things being done with knowledge. So make sure it's for sincere reasons, because, I'm glad I could sit on the radio show and give out the word, but... Yeah, it's you got to be careful with what you learn. And as you start speaking, know that it's more responsibility in what you learn. So either the more you learn, the more responsibility. So I wish you the best of luck on your travels, and just pray on discernment from the Creator.
Okay. We have Martin Singleton from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he wants to know, the stuff that you do every day, are you writing it down? Are you getting inspiration? And do these things help you in your daily life? Do it encourage you to keep you strong? Does it help you make it through the hard times? How do you use something that's been given to you? And it seems that, I guess he's saying, it's been given to you, not by, you asked for it, it's been given to you. Now, what is your projections that you're going to use it for, in terms of empowering people, empowering yourself? How do you plan on, using it?
Well, I hope to use it on a platform that becomes like eye opener. You know what I mean? I would like to sit down with R. Sharpton and a lot of other big speakers and everything, and I don't care what you're talking about. I'm going to bring it back to the Creator. I'm going to bring everybody's narrative back to the Creator, no matter which way you understand it. How are we giving back to him and to our earth? So which way we tug and pull and go which way, but it's got to be a way we can bring the bridge the gaps to come together for the necessity of the earth. It's like the planet is, like, if I look at the city, and I don't get no happiness at looking at the city. Like, I'm in a building on, like, a 16th floor. I look at the city, and it's just, like, all these buildings and, like, you know, the vegetation, like, we remove all the vegetation. Our water is disgusting. It's like, come on, we got to get back to the earth. We gotta reconnect with the Creator. It's like our spiritual umbilical cord is broken. So I'm trying my best to reach my voice as far as possible that people could know that we could reconnect back with the Creator. Like, if we simultaneously come together and really pray on it, the Creator will liberate us and give us our own. But it has to be an exodus. I really believe that's what's going to happen. I believe the story of Exodus is etched in time to repeat itself. Like you have to give onto Caesar's what is Caesar's and give back onto God's what is God's. So it really has to be, we amounted this wealth just to give it back to the people, to put it back into the neighborhood. And with that said, that'll show the Creator that, you know what I mean, we took the wealth from Caesar, we take that and we go give it back onto God. Gotta give it back. It's the only way to beat the devil. He gonna put all that wealth in your hands. He wanna see you splurge and he wanna see you just lose your mind with all that wealth. Those people who take that and say thank you and give it back to God, that defeats him right there. You can't fathom that. You can't fathom how you can have all that in your hand and just give it away. You can't, that hurts him. Only acts of kindness and like giving back and actually doing in the stead of the Creator actually affects devil. Cursing at him, hating him, and blaming his skin to him being the white guy and everything, that don't affect him. That empowers him because that's what he sought out to do in the first place. So we need to find out more, like I was telling you before, about what breaking the chains and how to heal again. And I really believe that the center head needs to be the Creator. Man is not responsible enough to be left in full responsibility over all the administrations of government. Over government, why do you think God was sitting over the government? Because it came back to him. No matter who the head was, it still came back to the law of the Creator. Because it's like, I'm just issuing the law of the Creator. And this is what it is, and this is what it is. You understand? Like, and since we removed the Creator indefinitely out of everything that is law and justice and everything else, we got the short end of the stick. Now we got what it was. Even though the church was persecuting people for some time, and that was because of, you know, the direction it went down, because Christianity broke into many sectors throughout time. And there's a whole history in that too. You know, a lot of us don't know where we came from and how faith actually got over here to the Americans in the first place, because it was not easy. But amen to God we have faith to believe in. Amen to God we have some discernment of the Creator. At least you can go to bed and say, I believe in a higher power. When there are some people who go to bed miserable and say, there's no Creator there, I don't believe in no higher power, who have to face judgment before the Creator with disbelief found in their heart. So, I mean, thank God we're not in those positions. Is there more questions?
Yeah, Khadija Woods from Bronx, New York. She wants to know, like, in terms of her friends and her go to church and they don't have this inspiration that you're talking about, and she don't know how to get that deep in it, because she says she see it as something that you can do part, you know, you can do on your, you know, you can do some of it and, you know, have some faith that when you need something, you can call God. And she don't feel like she has to be teaching people and getting deep into it and expounding on it and that sort of thing. So she wants to know, like, she's getting the same blessings as those people like yourself that get real deep into it. She can go reach out to God for the same help in her times of need.
Yes. There's actually a conversation between the Creator and Moses. When Moses asked the Creator, he said, if a man is found in sin and he calls out the Creator, what do you say to him? He says, I am here, or I am here. So no matter what state and time you're in, your divine right is to the Creator. Being over religious or zealous does not grow you close to the Creator. That let me clear that up. Like, being overzealous does not make you close to the Creator. Being sincere makes you close to the Creator. So there could be a man who's in his best church suit and giving the best speech and his best articulation in the world, but in his heart is really to keep his congregation, really to keep some kind of donations coming to himself, really to keep the position he's amounted for himself. But in his heart is really not for God. And those are the people who they say is going to be dragged on their face into the hellfire, into the lowest pits, because they were hypocrites. Versus there could be a sinner who acknowledges God, but he's in sin. He's in struggle, and he calls out God in his distress. He's sincere in his struggle and his approach to the Creator. So when he dies, he has a better chance to approach the Creator in heaven than the man who portrayed to be a hero or somebody who was overzealous. But what I'm going to do for the radio listeners, you guys can actually text me. I'm about to have these last things up for everybody to be able to blog with me. I'm actually building a blog. But for now, you guys can actually text at 347-606-0530. Again, that's 347-606-0530. So if you have other questions, or, you know, as you go through your week and you deal with your friends, Miss Woods, then you can just text me and I'll help you from there. And that goes for any other fan here on our show and our contributors on the show. You guys need to reach out and ask any spiritually based questions or business questions. You can text me. Just let me know where you know me from, your name, and we'll go from there. So we got 10 more minutes. You guys gonna let me spill, or is it another question?
One quick question. Brother Jamal Mackerson from Montclair, New Jersey. He said, with all the craziness going on and all the things happening, all the abuse from police and politicians, and you know, how do you find time to see the good in people? How do you find time to see the good in others with everything going on? How do you find the time to pray for somebody? How do you find the time with all this chaos? How you find a time to pray for yourself? How you find a time, he's saying, to go through all this deep seeking God when it's an emergency situation out here? People are shooting and killing each other, and people are dying of drugs, you know, and kids are getting shot in the parks playing. So he's saying, how do you find time for all these other things, you know, to deeply seek God?
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. It's definitely because of hope. Hope is why. So there's definitely two sides of me. There's a con to a mountain knowledge, all right? And the con to a mountain knowledge is that you are more spiritually subjected to certain formalities that you wouldn't be subjected to not knowing the things you know. Meaning, I'm at a tug of war between light and darkness, literally. So as I see the plight of humanity, their ungratefulness, their stinginess, their evil, and I see the blatant spit in the Creator's face. I see it. It is a darkness that rides inside me like a fury that wants to consume me. But then there's another side of me, which is hope. and it's a tranquil, serene feeling that it's not my position to judge. And the love of the Creator supersedes his wrath. And that he himself, in view of all his creation, has hope for the good in humanity. So I can't let the devil win like that. If I do give up hope, then he will consume me. So it's a little different. He's always waiting for that window of opportunity when you say, man, this thing is over, and it'll consume you. I got you. You gave up. That's when you walk out the wing of God. You walk out from under his wing, and you feel you can walk off on your own, and the devil takes you under his. Hey, let's go this way. Let me show you this. Let me show you how this works. So I have that acknowledgement for him and that reverence for him in the sense of his existence that I can't lose track of the fact that he exists and what he has done for me. So, like I said, it's hope. You have to find something. You have to love it, and you got to hope for it, because Jesus, peace be upon him, said, how is it that you can't love your brother whom you can see, but you say you love God whom you can't? So he lets you know that loving your brother is a form of loving God. Doing for humanity is a form of loving God, because you're doing for the creatures of the Creator. Shows you everything right there in a nutshell, the wisdom of Jesus when he said that. You know what I mean? So, just even if it's on a small scale, if it's your son, your daughter, your family, your brother, your sister, close friend, and you could do good by that person and somebody could do good by you, you got to just keep doing the little good deeds you can and just rack up your scale, because if your scale, if one outweighs the other, the evil outscales your good. It's not a good end. And all is fair in love and war. The Creator is fair, and even so, the Creator is so fair. Through prayer, he might show his mercy. Your evil might amount to more than your good, and through his mercy and because of your prayer, he might forgive you. Those are the gambles we deal with, but it's better for us to do good in this lifetime and try to put some good in our lives than anything else. I'm trying to get my blessings up. Something, you know what I mean? we have 5 more minutes left. I don't know, the brother Shalik, you want to say something?
I was just inspired by the things that you were saying, because what happens is that we spend so much time, people spend so much time, right? And it's just like, it's even with the, not the straight away, I'm just showing a correlation here, a comparison and a contrast to, let's say, for example, investment opportunities. And a lot of times, we as brands in this capitalist society, we don't even realize how powerful we are in terms of how we're being used. We have 3 minutes of conversation sometimes with people, and we don't think about prayer in those conversations. And those are the times when we don't know what to do, that's when we should be activating a prayer. That's when we should be, excuse me?
No, I'm saying right, because that's how I was feeling. Like, I would see all these people get together on all these marches and lean on their own understanding. And it's like, it's leaders who is like, lean not on your own understanding, but on the everlasting wisdom of God. So it's like, I'm watching, I'm like, yo, don't get big. This is what happens to man. We get caught in our position, our name, and our status, and we get blinded. Right. Like, nah, give it back to God. So I agree.
No, that's the truth. That's the truth. And that's all
that's
I wanted
that was,
to share. I'm listening.
No, I was saying that's great, but we're out of time now. And so we'll have everybody come in next week and join us back in conversation, or tomorrow. Tomorrow, 7 to 9.
I'll do my best to be
in conversation
tomorrow
as well.
That's right.
Tomorrow, baby.
So man, just be the example that you want to see in others, man. That's to the viewers, man. To give love, spread love, and most importantly, love God first and love yourself,
love
man.
God
love first. Your neighbor as yourself. And that's with that, man.
Amen.
Bring love to the community and peace to the community, man. With that, I'm out.
Amen.
I love you all.
You guys,
thank y'all.
Man. Love
God
y'all.
Bless y'all. That's right.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act.
Bye.